We're going to be in Psalm 51. And I was tempted to just do the whole thing, but we're going to focus on the verse here. A couple verses to remind us of the forgiveness the Lord gives. And then we'll work through what we've kind of learned as a group over the last couple months. I think you'll be encouraged when you kind of put it all together today. Psalm 51, in verse 10, is where we're going to start out. The Word of God says this: "Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me." If there is ever a picture of someone who got unstuck, David would be that right here. After all that he went through, after all that he encountered, and because of some poor choices that he made, the Lord restored joy back to his life. And so I thought he was a great picture of that today. So just a few things kind of as we move through here and we kind of wrap up. Again, guys, anybody is welcome to. We have a Healing is a Choice, you can see up there, or the Life Recovery Bible. Please take one or both with you today. If you want to share them, give them to the people that they could participate. We just love for you to use them. Again, even as Christina shared, she's given out a couple of these books, and one of them really had an impact on a friend. We've been doing Healing is a Choice on Wednesday nights, and we still have two more of those if you want to join us for that. It's been really encouraging, again, about working our way through all of these things. And so I want to just encourage you to feel free to take a book or the Bible there with you, the Life Recovery Bible, and feel free to share those as you see fit as the Lord leads. Well, we've had these stuck profiles over the last couple months, right? We've talked about like the young mom who's maybe stuck at home and she feels like she doesn't have a way out. We've talked about like the guy who's in a dead-end job and he's not sure what to do next. We talk about people that were financially stuck in debt and they just didn't know where to turn. And we've even had someone come and share their story with us, and what a great testimony it was of how alcoholism had just completely engulfed their life. And they were able to be free from that. What an amazing picture that was, okay? And so I don't know where you're at today. I hope that some of you have, maybe the Lord's exposed some things in your heart that have really caused you to look and to search out and to see him. But what I love most about this, and I've already said it today, what I love most about this series, it's opened my eyes as to how we can help people who are trapped and aren't sure which way to go. And we've said this many times, the people in our neighborhoods here, most of them, they don't need milk or they don't need bread. What they need is help from all these addictions and all these grief and all this depression that's right around us. And I think we have some really good tools to help up with that. So how are you doing today? Are you still living with any kind of revenge or bitterness in your heart? I hope not. Is the Lord beginning to expose areas of your life that need healing? And here's what I want to say today, and I feel this very strongly. If we're going to move forward as a church, we've got to start healing individually and corporately. All right? It's time for us to move forward. I want this year to be a year where we heal up and we start making strides forward. Now, we've already seen a lot of that, I think. It's been really good to be encouraged that way. And so for us to get where the Lord wants us to go, we've got to go through healing. And I think we're in the right direction. When we started our series, we looked at this truth, and I still think this is so powerful today. Stop trying harder, okay? This weekend, I was at a men's retreat, and we were with a bunch of guys, and they were hearing some really good messages. I mean, the preachers were clearly speaking the word of God. It was going forth, and it was really encouraging. But I could see on some of the guys' faces as they began to talk about things, this same thing overcomes us all. What happens, what is it called when you do the same thing over and over again, and you expect different results? What do we call that? Insanity, right? And I could see some of the guys thinking the same thing. When I get out of here, I'm going to go try harder. I'm going to go, you know, be a better dad. I'm going to go be a better husband. I'm going to go be a better whatever. It's that same idea of I'm just going to try harder. And I'm going to tell you today, and I hope that you've seen this from the get-go, if you just keep trying harder, doing the same things, you're not going to get anywhere. Let's be honest, right? Many of us have tried harder at a diet, right? I'll just try harder. We've tried harder at exercise, right? I'll just try harder. And then some of us have tried harder to beat our drug habit or to try to beat our porn habit or to beat whatever thing. I'm just going to try harder. And hear what? If you don't hear anything else, that I hear this, that does not work. And it doesn't work spiritually either. This message is not today to you for you to go out here and say, well, I'll just try harder to be a better Christian. No. It's the exact opposite of that. What we need is a resurrection. The scripture says that we are dead in our trespasses and sins. But thanks be to God, he's made us alive through his Son, Jesus Christ. You guys, if you want to get out of your mess, you got to stop trying harder, and you have to submit your life to the Lord and let him do the work in your heart. Again, just try harder doesn't work. You cannot keep doing the same thing over and over and expect different results. You don't need to change yourself. You need to be changed. Are you hearing me? This is so true. We always want to try that. We want to self-help. And the problem with most of the stuff we're talking about, that we've talked about these over the last few weeks, these addictions and things, it's self-medication. It's people trying to self-medicate their problems, their hurts, and their pain, and they end up in those situations because of that. You can't do heart surgery on yourself, right? Can you imagine that? Yeah, I won't go to anesthesia. Just put the mirror right here, and I'll work a little bit and see if I can get this cleaned out. Is that going to go very well? It's not going to happen, right? In the same way as you're facing these struggles, you can't do heart surgery on yourself. You need the Lord to do the surgery on you. If you've never repented of your sins and trusted Christ as your Savior, you need regeneration. How clearly can I say this, okay? Salvation is not you coming to an altar and saying a prayer. It's not you getting baptized in a baptistry. Salvation is when the Lord invades your heart and your life, and he changes you from the inside out. It's not that you filled out a card. It's not that you wrote your name in a book or on a membership roll. Salvation is the beginning of a new creature when Jesus Christ invades the life of a person who says, Lord, take over me and use me as you see fit. And so that's where we're always going to start. Today, at the end of the message today, I'm going to walk through, like if someone were to come to me and say, Pastor, I need help with, and it could be whatever these problems we've been talking about, this is the first thing I'm going to ask him. Have you been changed? That's what I'm asking you guys today. I know I'm speaking to the choir here this morning, but it's ever so true, and that's the thing that you want to, when you're sharing the gospel with people and you're trying to help people in these kind of situations, the first thing that they need to know is that Jesus died for them and loves them and wants to redeem them. And they're not going to find any fix that's really going to matter if they don't take care of that first. All right? Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, just to make it clear from the scriptures. For it's by grace you've been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, that lest any man should boast, right? What's that tell us? You can't do it. You are not responsible for your salvation because you can't do it. You've got to have the Lord. If you're a Christian and you've experienced God's transforming grace, but you found yourself stuck, you need the gospel as much as you ever did before. You don't believe that today, do you? Did the preacher just call you a liar? That was pretty bad, wasn't it? Did you hear what I'm saying? For so long, and this is kind of how I was raised, that you heard the gospel, and the gospel is when you repented of your sins, you trusted Jesus Christ, and now the rest was all up to you. Go be a good Christian. Go try harder. That's the gospel that I heard, the message I heard as a young boy. But what we've learned from the scriptures is that you need the gospel as much today as you ever did when you came to Christ. Because the gospel reminds you that you can't do any of this without the Lord's help. And if you're stuck, whether it's you're stuck in your marriage, you're stuck in your job, or you're stuck in some addiction, you need the gospel that says, Lord, come help me, because I can't do this on my own. And when you get to that place, guess what? The Lord will show up, and he will deliver. He'll use people to deliver and encourage you. All right, the next thing we kind of talked about in our series was, how desperate are you? Do you really want it? Do you really want help? How desperate are you? The scripture talks about four friends who were so desperate for their buddy that they went and they put him on a mat and they lowered him through the rooftop so that he could come down to Jesus because the crowds were all around. You got any friends like that? That's pretty powerful, isn't it? They were so desperate for him to get help from the Lord that they did that. And you'll remember the week we talked about being desperate. We talked about a lady who had an issue of blood, right? And she had tried all the doctors. She had spent all her money. Does that sound familiar? I've got a problem. I've tried every kind of thing I could try. And then finally she said, I don't know what to do. I'm going to go to the Lord. And this lady who would be considered unclean and should not be really out among people, because of her desperation, she stepped out to find Jesus. And she went through the middle of a crowd. And she touched the hem of his garment. And what happened? She was forever changed. Her desperation made her recognize she needed something beyond herself. She needed the Lord. Okay. You remember Jairus, right? What did the Lord say to him? Oh, this is so good. I love this. Jairus had lost a 12-year-old child, his daughter. And he had been going to Jesus, and on the way, he knew she was really sick. And so he's trying to get to Jesus, and while the crowds are there, they come and they say, Jairus, it's too late. It's over. Your daughter's dead. Don't trouble the master, right? And what does Jesus say to Jairus? It's the best thing ever, isn't it? Don't be afraid. Just believe. And what's Jairus do? He takes the Lord at his word. He makes his way back to his daughter, and the Lord raises his daughter from the dead. Again, desperation causes us to pursue something beyond ourselves. And here's what I want to encourage you today. Instead of trying everything else first, why don't we go to the Lord first? Are you with me? Okay? So if you're hurt today, or if it's so deep inside, instead of trying to self-medicate, instead of trying to figure out the latest psychologist, whatever kind of thing that you're reading, and we're going to talk a little later about using psychologists and counselors, and that's a good thing, can be a good thing, but why don't you first and foremost start with the Lord? Lord, I need help here with this today. Because he's the one that ultimately is going to oversee your healing. Until we realize that we can't fix this ourselves, we're not going to find healing. We won't make our way forward. Until we get to this place, we will stay stuck. But again, getting unstuck is more than just saying, Lord, I don't know what to do, please help me. It's saying, Lord, I'll do whatever you tell me to do that I can please you with my life. Did you catch the difference? You're going to come to a place and you're going to say, Lord, I don't know what to do. But will you come to the place where you say, Lord, I'll do whatever you say? And that's when the Lord begins to show you what he's got in store for you and the people and the places and the things he has laid out for you to find healing. If you're going to find healing, you've got to own up to your own responsibility. Now, and this is not a bad thing, and again, it's important as you try to find out healing. But a lot of us, when we try to find out healing, where do we go? We had to go back to our childhood, right? The reason that we are the way we are a lot of times is because of the way we were raised. And because of the parents that we had or didn't have, right? Now, you can blame your life on those people, can't you? Hello? Well, the only reason I'm this is because my dad was this way, and that's just how I am. It's my mom's fault. If my mom had been better, it's my wife's fault. If my wife would take better care of me like she should, then I wouldn't be dealing with all this other junk and be tempted to do these other things. It's my husband's fault. If he was caring and compassionate like he should be, that I wouldn't be so trapped. It is easy to blame other people, isn't it? Man, it's easy. And our culture is really good at that right now, isn't it? It's right now, it's like it's everybody else's problem but mine. But the Word of God reminds us to own our sin. It's not your mom's fault. It's not your dad's fault. It's not your spouse's fault. If you want to move forward, obeying Jesus means acknowledging responsibility for your sins and your choices. Yes, these people definitely had an impact on you, but ultimately we've got to be responsible for the decisions that we've made. We talked about David. You remember that week? Right? David's up there on the rooftop. He sees Bathsheba, and he decides, and he starts making a series of really bad choices. What always amazes me is like at any time, if he would have made a different choice, it could have changed the whole direction of his family. But he would not forsake his sin, and he would not own up to his problem until finally the prophet came to him, right? Now, David did finally find peace when he owned up to his sin and he repented for the wrong things he had done. And you will too. You guys, the world doesn't want to talk about repentance, and I'm telling you, the scripture does. You go get that Life Recovery Bible, and you look at those 12 steps in there, and you'll see that is one of the clearest pictures of repentance there ever was. Why do you think so many people have found help with Alcoholics Anonymous and Celebrate Recovery and other 12-step programs? You know why? Because those steps are the core of repentance and forgiveness. And when you can make peace with those things, you will make peace in your life, and you can be free from all the other junk. It's biblical. It's not just something that came in the 9th or the 20th century. This has been around since the Word of God has been around, right? If you're going to obey the Lord, it starts by seeing sin the way that he does and turning from it with his help, and he will help you. And you guys might remember even, too, we talked a little bit about the secret, right? This is such a problem in churches today still that people want to put a facade, or they want to cover up who they are. You guys, we got to get past that. I know some of you a little too well, right? I know you have problems. I know you have struggles. Guess what? How many of you know that the preacher has problems and struggles too? Right? Well, he's the preacher. He's not supposed to have that kind of thing going on. Really? Yeah. We got to set the secret free. Because too many times in churches, people have come in and they've decided, well, I've got to make this appearance that I'm holy and that I'm healthy and that everything's right so that people think I'm really in good standing with the Lord, when really deep down inside, I'm hurting and I'm struggling with a temptation or a desire and I don't know what to do with it. You guys, it has been so good on Wednesday nights as we sit around the table and we have supper together and just talk with one another. And then we share prayer requests with one another. And people are free and open to share their struggles. That's like the best thing ever. You recognize, wait a minute, this guy's, I'm having that problem too. Let's pray for one another. And every now and then somebody else says, hey, I've been through that. I think I can help you out because I know what I had to do to make my way through that mess. But as long as you put up that facade or you put on your mask, there's nobody going to be able to help you because they don't know where you're at. Set the secret free, guys. Set it aside. Be honest, be transparent before the people that love you and know you. We are built for fellowship. We are built for community. Man, if I could say this 1,000 times, I would say it today. Quit living in isolation with your struggle. Man. Trying harder is, I'll do it. I'll take care of it. I'll make it better. I'll read. I'll study. I'll just be a better. I can manage this. You can't do it alone. The Lord didn't make you that way. Do you realize that? He didn't make for us to be alone. He made us to be together. That's why there's words like fellowship and community. That's why there's so many passages that say one another in the scripture. We need each other. That huge lie we talked about on Wednesday nights is that, well, it's just God and me and we'll be okay. Well, the truth is God designed you to be with other people. Over and over and over again, when I listen to my friends on New Life that share about all the problems and struggles people are going through, usually their big point of advice is, if you're a lady, do you have young ladies or other women around you that you can share your heart with and they can help you make good choices? And if you're a man who's struggling with something, do you have other men in your life that are speaking into your life and that you can tell you when you're on the right way or the wrong way? And so many times the people that are struggling so much, they don't have those people in their life. You can't do it alone. You got to stop isolating. You got to be willing to take some steps forward. It's easy to get home and sit in your chair and sit in your space and just struggle by yourself. It is hard to get where a group of people are, and it's even harder to share with those people about your own flaws, isn't it? How many of you want to stand up and say, hey, I'm a failure? Wow, that's difficult, isn't it? But when you can acknowledge and own your sin and your struggle and then be transparent with other people, then the Lord begins to do healing, because that's the way he's designed it to work. Own it, own it. How can I say that? The power to forgive. And this week we looked at three great examples. First, we looked at the overarching truth that the Lord forgives us. 1 John 1:9, you guys know this by heart. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and he is just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, right? Isn't that one of the best scriptures in all the Word of God? Lord says, if you mess up and you own it, guess what I'll do for you? As far as the east is from the west, I'll put your sins away from me. To the bottom of the ocean, one of the prophets says, I'll put your sins at the bottom of the sea. Remember we talked about the monk who had this great hurt in his heart and he just felt like he had failed the Lord so much. And this lady, she said she was praying and she would hear visions and talk to the Lord. And so he asked, well, what did the Lord say about the sin that I did when I was in college? And she went and prayed, and she said, well, he said he didn't remember that. I think that's such a great picture of the Lord's love, right? The Lord forgives. We looked also at Joseph. If anybody had a reason to be bitter and revengeful, right? Your brother drops you in a pit, your brothers do. I'm not liking them so much. They tell your dad that you've been killed because you were the favorite child. That's not going so well. They sell you into slavery for a few years. I'm not liking them too much. You finally make your way into a little better position. You start moving your way up. And this man named Potiphar, and then all of a sudden his wife decides that she's going to slander you because you won't do what she wants. And you're thrown in prison. You think there's a reason to drink, a little reason to take some drugs, a real reason to just, you know, be to escape? If anybody had a reason to say, I'm done with life, I'm tired, I'm not going this way anymore, it would have been Joseph. Instead, Joseph honors the Lord. He said, I'll follow you no matter what you do. I could not sin against my God. That's what he says about Potiphar's wife. And ultimately, what happens to Joseph? Second in the kingdom. And he recognizes that God had taken him through all this stuff so that God could be glorified and he could be used. Wow. Talk about the power of forgiveness, right? Then we talked about forgiving yourself. Some of you here today, I'm telling you right now, I know you. You need to get it figured out. Peter, what did he do? He denied the Lord. Of all the things you could do, I think that might be the worst thing that you could think of that you could do. You could take someone else's life and that would be horrible, but to actually deny the Son of God and say, I don't even know you after all he'd done for you? Whew. Peter is in a bad spot. He sees the Lord, he gets out of the boat, he comes up to the lake shore there. Jesus says, Peter, feed my sheep. Do you love me? Yes, Lord, I love you. Feed my sheep. Okay. Peter's thinking, phew, this is good. We're over with this now, right? And then Jesus asks him again, Peter, do you love me? Peter's like, why are you asking me a second time, Lord? Feed my sheep. Okay, I'll do that. And then when Jesus says it the third time, how many times did Peter deny Jesus? Three times, right? Peter's like, oh no, what have I done? You know what the Lord was doing? He was walking him through a path where Peter could see that the Lord loved him no matter what and that God was going to use him. And even today in our lesson, in our Sunday school class, Peter is in prison and the Lord sends an angel, frees him out of the prison in order that God's name be magnified. He shows up at the door and Rhoda is so excited, she goes tells the prayer team, hey, Peter's here. And they're like, there's no way he's here. They open the door and he actually got out. The Lord had so much in store for Peter, but Peter had to learn to deal with forgiveness in his own heart. Some of you here today, I'm telling you, you've got to get to that place. The Lord has forgiven you. Your friends and family have forgiven you. Your church family has forgiven you. And you're still holding on that you're not good enough. You're not important enough. You're not special enough. Jesus says, I died for you. I love you. Feed my sheep. The power to forgive is so important that we recognize that. If you want to get out of the quicksand, you've got to own your sin, ask for forgiveness, receive it when the Lord grants it to you. You'll be amazed at what God can do with that. Then the next week we look there at God's power, right, in Dennis's life. Man, I love Dennis Brooks. What a person to be used by the Lord the way that he was and the transformation that took place in his life. And what was so interesting to me is that he found out that first, when he got rid of the addiction, then he found the emptiness inside. That kind of makes sense, doesn't it, right? He'd had this emptiness and he kept filling it with over and over with alcohol. And then whenever the Lord freed him up from that, he recognized he was still empty. And that's when the Lord came in and filled his heart with joy when he repented of his sins and trusted Christ. And for 40 years, he hadn't touched a drink. You guys, that's such a great example today. I don't know where you're at or what your issue is, but the Lord is still healing people. He's still forgiving people. He's still transforming them. And we can be a part of that. And I want to encourage you in that. I just thought his example was so, so great. So I want to encourage you with that. And then we talked about the idea that you are loved. And again, the message that never gets old, right? Does it to you? Does your heart ever get hardened to this truth? That God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son? That whosoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life? Hello? We about had a praise service that morning. I still remember that day. God is for you. Can we shout that from the mountaintops? God is for you. God is not trying to trip you up. He's not some vengeful deity that's hoping that bad things happen in your life. God is for you. You know how I know? Because he gave the most precious thing to him, his son, and sacrificed him on your behalf, that you could be restored and reconciled to him. God loves you. 1 Peter 1:18. We'll look at this in just a few weeks. For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. How special is Jada today? How special is Casey and Donna and Charlotte and Diane? How special is even Isaiah? You weren't bought with gold or silver. What were you bought with? The very blood of Christ. That's how much you're loved. We could just stop here and go home now, right? Does it get better than that? You are loved so much that God's only Son spilt his blood for your redemption. That's what you've been bought with. That's how special that you are. Don't listen to anyone who would tell you you're not special because of the way you looked or behave or where you're from or what you do or the color of your skin. You're special because Jesus loves you and he died for you. Let that sink in your heart and your stomach. Oh man, that'll help you so much with the stuff that you're trying to medicate with. You're loved. And we don't want to forget that. Psalm 103, verse 11, we took a look at this in that message. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. Anybody been, you're going to get in that? I could see Todd getting in one of those spaceships, you know, that kind of flies all the way almost to the end of the atmosphere. Donna probably wouldn't let him, but he would want to, right? Anybody else, would you like to go that high up? As high as the heavens above the earth, so great is God's love for those who fear him. Again today, you are loved, you are valuable, you have great worth. There's a line in one of my favorite songs, and it simply says this: I don't have time to maintain these regrets when I think about the way that he loves us. I can't stay back there. I've got to go forward because of how much the Lord loves us. Then we talked about grieving your losses. This is one of the hardest things here, right? We talked about the death of your dream. You used to have some dreams you got to let go of today. That's hard, isn't it? Maybe you were hoping for the dream marriage and it didn't work out like that. Or the dream boyfriend or the dream girlfriend and it didn't work out like that. Or the dream job. It didn't work out like that. Maybe just the dream family. You're hoping for the mom and dad that you see other people have. Why didn't I get to have that? If you want to find healing, you have to grieve your losses in order to move forward. We saw it in the life of Jonah, didn't we? Here was a guy that was so bent on revenge. He so wanted the Assyrians to be destroyed. He so wanted God to judge them. And instead, he knew that God's compassion would rest on them. And he didn't want to give them the truth because he knew God's compassion would come through. Today, if you want to heal the deep hurt, as you own your sin and you recognize God's forgiveness for yourself, you've got to let go of broken dreams and exchange them for what God has for you. Anybody want to make that trade? Think about it. Quick example, Paul, right? Paul was an influential person in his community. He may have even been the rich young ruler. We don't know that for sure. Paul was trained by the best of the scholars of his day. He was an up-and-coming person. He was a leader, and he could have had that, could have been his, who he was for. And the Lord got a hold of him, and Paul had to switch out those dreams of what he was going to be to do what? To be stoned, to be left for dead, to be shipwrecked, to have the anxiety of the churches on him. That doesn't sound so good, does it? Wait a minute. What did God do with Paul? You guys, over half of the New Testament was written by that one man. Right? He did more for advancing the missionary cause than any other person in human history because he traded his dreams for God's dreams. And right now it may look tough. I don't know that I want to let go of this. But Paul said in Philippians in chapter 3, verse 12, he says, not that I've already obtained all this or have arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that which for Christ Jesus took hold of me. I want what God has for me because I know that will magnify him and that will fill me with the most joy. Whew, that's so good. You guys, that's what I want. I don't care if I could be part of a church of 10,000 or part of a church of 10, I don't care. What I want is I want what God has for me. And I will be content and satisfied with that. As a matter of fact, that's really the best thing you can have, isn't it? If you let go of your dreams and trade them for God's plan and his dream for you, you will find the most wonderful thing you could ever have, and that is contentment. But we have to let go. When we will truly encounter God's love when we do this. And finally, this last week we talked about boundaries, and I've learned so much there. We talked about people pleasers, right? Anybody fit that category? Yeah. When you start making your way out of your mess, you don't want to get triggered or tripped up at every turn. So in order to keep moving in the right direction, you've got to have godly wisdom. And so we got to be careful about abusing half-truths in the Scriptures and make decisions that will please the Lord instead and be satisfied in Him. And so here's the point. If you are willing to let other people be upset with you, as long as you know the Lord is pleased, you will be able to set boundaries that will make for lasting change. Can I read that again? Listen up. Hang on. This is really good. If you are willing to let other people be upset with you, as long as you know the Lord is pleased, you'll be able to set boundaries that will make for lasting change. That's huge, right? For most of my life, when I was confessing to Isaiah and Casey this morning in Sunday school, man, I don't like people upset with me. So I'll try to do whatever I could to make you happy. I'm just trying to keep people happy. Well, who I need to keep happy is the Lord. And that's the same for you. When we come to that place, you're going to make some people upset. If you looked in the lesson today, Peter made some people upset. John made some people upset because they decided first and foremost they were going to do what the Lord wanted. And they were going to please Him. And then as He led, they would please the people that He wanted, and they would make mad the people that the Lord said, you're going to make mad. And that's a hard step for some of us, but it's the right one. And if you don't want to go back down those same places, you don't want to go back into those same triggers, you don't want to go back into those same traps, you're going to have to set some boundaries and say, Lord, I'm going to please you first. And when I please you, then I know the other things will line up. And I would just encourage you so much to live a life of pleasing the Lord. And then also we quickly looked at the idea of the reaping and sowing, right? And interrupting that cycle, okay? You guys know that idea. We talked about the parents that let the kids live in the house, even though the kids were maybe doing drugs, weren't paying their bills, didn't have a job, and the parents were taking care of all those things. And they would come to the counselor and say, well, what's going on with my child? Why do they have such a problem? And the counselor would say, the child doesn't have a problem, you do. Because you're not setting the boundaries. You're interrupting that cycle of reaping, of sowing and reaping. We need to let people reap what they sow to some extent. That's a hard thing to do. Okay. Let's put this all together this morning. I think this is where it will make the most sense and where I really hope that we can help people. I've learned so many things over the past few months, and so now more than ever, I see hope for the drug addicted, the alcoholic, the people with sexual integrity problems. There is a way to move forward again. And so how I would have you kind of think about this with me today is, what if Sam or Samantha came to the pastor or came to you because they recognized they were stuck in a problem? And we wanted to put together a game plan for them to get out of their mess. I'm going to tell you today, if you'll be obedient to the Lord, you'll be in this position sometime. Not just the preacher. You're going to have an opportunity to help one of your friends make their way out of their mess. Okay? So here's what we would do. Because of what we've learned, what we walk through, here's what I would encourage you to do. The first thing is I would want to talk about is salvation. All right? Look. We can take you to a counselor and a psychologist, and we can take you to AA, and we can take you to Al-Anon, and we can get Celebrate Recovery. We can do all this stuff. But if your heart hasn't been changed by Christ, what's it really matter? You're really not going to get the healing you need, and ultimately, you're going to miss out on the best thing ever. So the courage we need today as a church is we need to talk about Jesus and share what He's done for us and begin there. Do you know the Lord? Have you repented of your sins? Have you surrendered your will to His will today? And really, that's what salvation is. Are you hearing me? Lord, I'm going to give you my will. You're in charge. And that's when the Lord comes in and changes us inside out. So first person I'm going to talk to, if I'm talking to Sam and he's coming to me because he's having a problem with pornography or a problem with prescription drugs, I'm going to say, Sam, what's your relationship with the Lord? And probably what I might hear sometimes is Sam may say something like, well, you know, a few years ago I had really given my heart to the Lord and I felt like I was changed. But over time, I just kept making some poor choices, and I found myself just reaching out and trying to find, and I ended up doing this to try to medicate the problems I was having. So what's the next thing we're going to talk about? And that is submission. And again, it's the very same idea, almost as in salvation, except it's the gospel coming in later in your life. Will you surrender to the Lord's will again? Will you exchange your dreams or whatever you thought life should be, take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of you? Sam, I want to ask you, are you willing to give up what you thought you wanted for what the Lord's got for you? That's a hard thing for people to let go of, isn't it? Well, I was supposed to be this big athlete, then I got hurt so bad. I was supposed to be a wealthy person because I went to this college, but then I got kicked out because of this problem. I was supposed to have this wife, but now she's left me because of the decisions I made. Can you let go of those dreams and submit and surrender yourself to what the Lord has for you? That's a big step, isn't it? But it's a key to healing. And then Sam and I, we would have a discussion about real repentance. If you want change, you got to own it. It's not your mom's problem. It's not your brother's problem. It's your problem. And you guys, you're going to those hard conversations with people that you love sometimes, because they're going to blame it on everybody else. And you've got to get them to realize that place where you own your own sin. Again, you're the one that has caused the hurts, and you're the one that needs to repent and seek the Lord. And then I would talk about communion, and I think this is the key here. Starting today, the first thing I would say to Sam is find your prayer closet and get in it. I feel like I need to come down here for a second. Isolation. Communion means getting out of isolation. Real quick, the one thing the Lord hit me with this weekend, and I was so pleased to be able to go to the men's retreat. I was just needing it. You ever just kind of need to get away a little bit? And so I asked the Lord to speak to my heart. And on Friday morning, Harlan Johnson, he's a friend of mine from Newcastle, he spoke, and you guys know the story. It's Mary and Martha, right? Do you remember that story? And Jesus is coming into town, and what is Martha doing? If it was a church setting, here's what would be going on. Martha would be vacuuming the sanctuary. She was cleaning out the baptistry. She was working on that toilet that hasn't worked for a while and trying to get it going. The crazy heater that doesn't seem to keep working. Martha was doing that. She was taking care of things because the Lord was coming, and she wanted things to look nice and be right and be ready and be good. You know what else what Martha was doing? She was saying, well, Miss Charlotte hasn't done anything in a while. What's her deal? And that Larry, he doesn't, and Rick, you should know, what is he doing? Why isn't he helping me out? And Todd, he never does anything around here. Why doesn't he come and help me out? That's the attitude that Martha had, right? She was busy doing what she thought she needed to be doing, but she was also busy worrying about other people, what they ought to be doing too. You ever do that? Oh boy, preachers have a real problem with that. Well, I know what's best for you. You know what Jesus said to Martha? He said, Mary has chosen the important thing, and it will not be taken from her. I never heard that last part like I heard this weekend. Jesus set a boundary on Martha. You know what he said? You quit worrying about Mary. She's doing the right thing, and we're not going to take that away from her. What was Mary doing? She wanted to be at the feet of Jesus and hear what he had to say. She wanted to grow in her relationship with her Lord. Jesus wasn't saying that taking care of the house was a bad thing and getting ready for company was a bad thing. He was saying the best thing was to be at my feet. And when someone desires that, I am not going to take them away from that. I thought it was pretty good for me to think about as I think about us trying to maintain and take care of facilities that the Lord has been blessing us with. But ultimately, if somebody is where they need to be with the Lord and their heart is where they need to be, I'm not going to be picking on them. I'm going to be encouraging them to grow in their communion with the Lord. So we've got to grow in communion. That means coming out of isolation. You want to isolate when you have problems, don't you? And I do. I don't want to be around. I don't want anybody to know about my problems. I want to go and hide. I don't want you to know what's going on with me. But the truth is, God made us for one another. The longer that we stay in isolation, the harder it will be to start moving again. Again, I already said this today, but ladies need godly ladies in their lives to help them see straight. And men need godly men to do the same. If you hear that lie, it's just Jesus and me, it's a lie. You don't believe that. God didn't make you in isolation. How many times have we said it in the Lord's Prayer, right? Our Father, give us our daily bread. Forgive us. Lead us. Deliver us. It never says me or my in the Lord's Prayer. Why is that? Because God made us for community and for fellowship and for one another. And when you're hurting, sometimes you just want to go hide. What you need to do is come out of your closet and say, I need to be with people who love me and who love the Lord. So if Sam came to me and he had a problem with prescription drugs, let's say, you know what I would do for him right away is I would push him to go find group and help right away. I wouldn't tell him just to go try a little harder, right? If a guy came in here today and his leg was broke, would we say, well, just try to work a little bit harder with it and it'll be okay? If somebody was bleeding out today, would we say, well, just put a little Band-Aid on that and I think it'll be better later on? Hello, are you with me? What would we do? We'd say, get that guy to the hospital. Go as fast as you can. That's what I loved about what Dennis said. If you have a problem with alcoholism, you need to go today to meet with people who can help you. Don't put it off till Thursday or a month from now. You won't do it. Go today. You need group today. You need people who love you today. You need help today. You guys, just a few ideas to share with you here. If you're praying, again, if you have communion with the Lord as you're dealing with stuff, he's going to help guide you to the right medicine, if you will. But here in our church, we have just a very simple Wednesday night group. And it is definitely nothing fancy, but it is something wonderful. We come at 6:30. Everybody's welcome. We have dinner together. It's one of my favorite times of the week. I was telling Daniel this week, I said, I have dinner with Rick and Vicky every week, every Wednesday, once a week, all year round. And he's like, man, that is really cool. You think about it. It's like, yeah, we have a dinner date every Wednesday. And Jade is there now every Wednesday. We have a dinner date. And we just talk with each other. We share what's going on in our lives. It's so fantastic. And then after that, we jump into God's word and we try to hear what the Lord has to say. That's what group does. We can share each other's hearts and kind of know what's going on. So there's one opportunity for you. Maybe that's not the right time for you. Maybe it doesn't fit the way that the Lord has your schedule. On Monday nights over at Indian Creek, they have a group called Celebrate Recovery. And I went one night to try to help a friend. That friend didn't even show up. But I went there to see what was going on, and it was a really good thing that's happening there. If you're hurting, if you're dealing with an addiction, there's some people over there who are meeting every Monday night doing the same thing. They're opening their stories, sharing their hearts, and they spend time around God's word, and they encourage each other to keep making steps forward. If you have a spouse or a friend that's dealing with an addiction, there's groups around our city called Al-Anon. Not Alcohol Anonymous, but Al-Anon. These groups are just for people who are friends of people in addiction. And do you know what they do? They gather around and they share their hurts and the decisions that they're making that they can help one another. Now, if you are in communion with the Lord and then you can go to one of those things, that's how the Lord will use that for healing. What a great opportunity. And so I just want to share those things with you as well. Help is available. The sixth thing there is we want to talk specifically about professional help. And this is something your preacher has had to learn, okay? When I think I've shared this with some of you. Growing up, I didn't have a very good perspective of counseling or counselors, right? Even in college, the guy that led my college class on counseling, I didn't have much respect for him. And it was also about that same time that my uncle, who was a counselor, ended up abandoning his wife for somebody he was counseling. And so I had a really bad taste in my mouth about counseling. Like, oh, I don't know about this stuff. But as I have been in ministry now for about 20 years now, I've seen how good, healthy counselors can make a huge difference. Just like we talked before, if your leg was broke or you were bleeding out, you would go to a doctor because you need specific help for that specific problem, right? Well, sometimes we need to get specific help for specific problems in our addictions as well. There is so much more help now than there has ever been for people who are dealing with addiction. And I would encourage you, again, start with salvation and start with communion with the Lord, but don't be afraid to get the professional help you need as well, as the Lord is leading in that help. Are you with me? And he will use all of those things together. He will use you, your small group that you're with, to find love and encouragement. He'll use professional help. He'll use the time that you spend in your prayer closet. And he'll do the change in your heart all together to get you moving out of your stuck mess. Don't be afraid of professional help. And finally, one of the things that I think we have not talked about much in this series, but I think is really important. As you begin to move out of your mess, and you start to serve other people, guess what happens to you? You stop thinking about your mess. Have you ever thought about that much? As the Lord heals you up, you start helping other people, you see what they're going through, and you find great fulfillment in lifting them up and encouraging them. Guess what that does for you? It strengthens you, it builds you up, and it gives you fulfillment. And as you serve, you will find help. Again, ultimately, if you'll surrender your heart to God, to the God who died for you, if you commune with him each day and seek his guidance, if you'll join together with other believers and share your struggles and your hopes, if you'll get the professional help you need as the Lord leads and seek him as you receive this help, you will start moving again. It will happen. To keep moving, we want to see how God wants to use us to serve others, get the focus off of ourselves and onto him, and God will restore to you the joy of your salvation. Let's finish where we began today. Create in me a clean or a pure heart, O God. Renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain. You guys, when we put it all together, we've learned a lot, haven't we, the last few months? I think something we already knew in our mind was that there is hope, definitely. There is a way out, but now we see there's a path. For people who are hurting and struggling, there's a way for them to find healing. And if it's you today, there's a way for you. And if it's someone you love, maybe the Lord can use this to encourage you about how to reach into their lives to make a difference. Let's stand today. What I want to do today is I'll go back to the piano for just a little bit, and I want us to spend some time in prayer. And I want you to pray, first and foremost, for yourself. If there's something on your heart that's bothering you, troubling you, if you're dealing with a struggle, and today the Lord's been speaking to you about getting past that, moving past it. Maybe it's owning that sin, or maybe it's finding help that you need. I want you to pray for yourself and start there today. And then I want you to take a little time while we seek the Lord in prayer, and I want you to pray for somebody that you know that is stuck. And I almost guarantee that everybody in this building right here, right now, as a friend or a family member or a coworker that is really stuck and they're really struggling in something. So as the Lord leads your heart today, won't you pray for them? Pray for wisdom and how you can interact with them, and pray for God's Spirit to invade their situation and to really cause them to be able to get out of their mess and to find the hope the Lord has for them. Let's take us a little time. I'll play the piano softly for a little bit, and you pray as the Lord leads. If you'd like to come to the altar, feel free to bring a friend, come to the altar and pray, and we'll be back and dismiss here in just a moment.